I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, what's going on? We will let you know that if you are listening on the stream right now, you're probably, well, if you're listening on the stream, then you're not hearing me. But LAFC is taking on Houston tonight. It's the first actual sporting event for an LA team since pre-pandemic. So we wish LAFC the black and gold well. That game is on FS1. So, John, the Lakers lose Rajon Rondo 6 to 8 weeks with a broken finger, a broken thumb. What can you say?
It's not good, obviously, anytime you lose somebody. And a couple of things I want to go. There's several layers to this. One is that I think a lot of Laker fans aren't big on Rondo, but Frank Vogel and the coaching staff is. They love him. They feel like he's an extension of a coach on the floor. They would very much like to have that club in their bag to play, particularly in the postseason. Mace, you've heard the phrase playoff Rondo.
Yes, he's playoff Rondo.
He's one of the few players in the NBA whose numbers actually get better in the postseason. So that's the glass half empty viewpoint of it. Here's the glass half full. If you believe the Lakers will get past the first round even without Rondo, and I think
yes,
most people do, he should be back in time for the second round of the playoffs. They say 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 7 weeks would be right when round two of the playoffs starts. So they can get him back at that point and hopefully use him. Now, the thing that's kind of disappointing, Mace, is that we made reference to it last week. Rondo looks like he's in the best shape of his career.
Sure.
He looked like he'd been in the gym every day. But now he's going to have to condition. You mentioned it's a fracture on his hand. So it's not like he can't run. It's not like he can't train. He can continue to condition. And hopefully he can hit the ground running into the second round. Now, here's a question for you. What do you want to see out of these minutes in these 8 games leading up to the playoffs? In other words, do you use those and treat them as dress rehearsals for playoff games, or do you treat them more like preseason games in which you play LeBron and AD maybe instead of the regular 34 minutes, maybe play them 20 to 25 minutes and audition J.R. Smith, audition Deion Waiters, see what Alex Caruso can do in that role? What would you do with these 8 games?
Well, obviously, that is ultimately going to be a decision of LeBron James and Anthony Davis and how they feel about their bodies at this time, right? But I think ideally, it's an opportunity, especially with Rondo gone, to see in particular what Deion Waiters is capable of. He gives them a capable ball handler for when LeBron is off the floor. And, you know, obviously, Alex Caruso can do that. It would be nice to see what Deion Waiters can do with that. I think it creates an opportunity. I don't think we know what the playoff rotation is going to look like right now. And I think that Avery Bradley staying home and Rajon Rondo breaking his thumb, those two things have created real opportunities for guys. I still think Caruso and KCP are going to get the bulk of those minutes. But JR and Deion Waiters are going to need to chip in.
It also, well, let's do this. The Lakers have been doing media sessions from Orlando every day.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been watching any of those, but they're interesting. So they can't see any of the media. No one in the media is visual, but they can hear them. So you go on this, basically you go on a Zoom call, and if you want to, you hit the raise your hand button.
Yeah.
And then you can ask a question. So Frank Vogel was asked the question that you just asked. Who will get Rondo's minutes now that Rondo's out 6 to 8 weeks? Here's what Frank said today about that.
Obviously, more will be needed in that regard from Alex and from Quinn Cook. We have the ability to use our bigs, like you said, with Kuz and and in particular AD, and having the ability to bring it up and handle and initiate offense. But I also like the prospects of seeing what Deion Waiters can do, you know, and we've got two really good basketball players that we added late in our season that do different things, you know, but equally as important. And with JR being able to shoot from the perimeter, and the catch and shoot, to be a big time catch and shoot player, and Deion with the ability to make plays off the bounce, and you know, losing Rondo puts more of a need on Deion's skill set. So you know, I look forward to seeing what he can do more as we get into games. But all of those guys will pick up the slack.
And also, Mace, Danny Green talked today. Now, keep in mind, Danny Green's the one guard we know will start.
Yes.
And LeBron is technically a guard. LeBron, you know, brings the ball up, leads the NBA in assists. The reason you have another guard out there beside Danny Green is to guard the other team's guards. And so Green was asked the same question. How do you think you guys are going to fill not only Rondo's minutes, but Avery Bradley's minutes? Here's what Danny said.
Oh man, that's a coach's question. I don't really make the substitutions, but I can tell you who we have. Things may shift. Guys will get more minutes now since Avery and Rondo's out. We did pick up JR. We did pick up Deion. We have myself, KCP, Alex Caruso, as you mentioned, Quinn Cook, Deion Waiters, JR Smith, Talon, who's been doing very well as a rookie, who's learned a lot. And you know, we have a couple other wings, other guys. Maybe I'm drawing a blank here, but we have so many guys on our team now. It's like 16, 17 guys. It's hard to decipher who's wings and who's a big. So obviously, Bron plays a wing. Who's plays a wing? Even AD sometimes. You know, he handles it a lot. But from my perspective, those are the main guys. I think they'll be on the perimeter.
All right, Mace. So here's the question. I think that KCP starts for Avery Bradley. So your starting defensive two the guards will be Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Is Caruso the next one the bench? Okay, now, I agree. Now, who comes in after that? Is it Quinn Cook? Is it Deion Waiters? Is it J.R. Smith?
Do you need somebody who can handle the ball?
Not necessarily, because LeBron has the ball.
Okay, then J.R. as a shooter and Deion Waiters as a heat check guy. Those are the two guys I want to see.
Yeah, Quinn Cook, I actually like more. I mean, I see him play a lot more than others do, so I think he can give you some minutes too. So if you look at it that way, if you accept the premise that LeBron is your point guard, and he kind of is, but what you're worried about, Tim Bontemps was on the show earlier, and he said, if the Lakers need to worry about something, it's how to defend on the perimeter the other team's guards. He gave the example, what happens if you run into Portland, and you got to guard Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, or what happens if you run into Houston, and you have to guard James
Harden
and Russell Westbrook. So, I think when you look at it that way, you've got KCP and you've got Danny Green. They can guard any of those four guys I just mentioned. If they get into foul trouble or you need to give them a blow, I like Caruso as the third guard. Then you have the option to go to Deion Waiters or J.R. Smith. Then you have the option to go to Quinn Cook. If you look at it that way, I don't think the Lakers are as thin at guard as some other people are suggesting.
Well, no, not if you, especially not if you take into account the two new guys.
Right.
The two
All
new guys.
Those guys could play guard in the playoffs if you need them to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So they do have guys, and that's why it's going to be important to see those guys as we get into this, what are we calling this? The seeding games?
Yeah.
They're calling them the seeding games?
Yeah, these eight games are more for other teams than they are for the Lakers.
Lakers
are going to be the one in the West.
Let me ask you something that I heard. It may not even have been a basketball podcast, but I think it applies. I think it was a baseball podcast, maybe Buster. They talked about manufacturing adrenaline. Without a crowd, how difficult is it going to be to manufacture the adrenaline that goes along with playing before one?
I don't think it's going to be difficult at all. I mean, if you've ever played pickup basketball, your level of energy and enthusiasm isn't dependent on anything other than the game you're playing. It may be weird with no fans. LeBron has talked about how he feeds off the fans, but it's going to be the same for everybody. So if LeBron can't feed off the fans, neither can Kawhi. And so I think that what you'll see, and that's one reason why these eight seeding games, like Linda Cohn was on with us earlier, and she talked about how the NHL is jumping right into the playoffs.
Yep.
And the NBA is going to play these eight games. One reason why I'm not upset, like you could make the argument that it would have been safer and smarter to just invite 16 teams to the NBA bubble and start the playoffs. But there's going to be an adjustment period here. These guys got to get used to playing without fans. They got to get used to playing in Orlando with where neither team has home court. They've been off for 3 months.
Yeah.
So I think you need Amanda Brown, our boss, called me today and said she thinks we don't have it worked out yet, but we're trying to broadcast one of the scrimmages.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea.
Just because people are desperate to get some type of organized basketball.
Yeah, no
so
question.
I don't mind the eight games, what you refer to as the seeding games, because then when the playoffs start, you can't use the excuse, well, it was all just too weird for me. There was no crowd, there was no home court, there was no, you know, but everybody's in the same boat.
Yes.
So I agree with, who was it last week? It was Austin Rivers, a Doc's son who plays for the Rockets, that said they should put an asterisk on this, but not because it's less of a title, because it's more of one. It's going to be harder to win it this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it is, the circumstances are absolutely unprecedented, and I think winning this year is going to take an even greater effort and even greater fortitude than a regular championship, which is already really, really tough to win. Hey, I want to let you know that I've got the LAFC game on, and a couple of things I noticed. First, before the game, the LAFC players and the Houston players all wearing Black Lives Matter T-shirts. Secondly, they all took a knee, both Houston and LAFC, before the game, with a fist up in the air. So the MLS absolutely understands the racial justice, social justice issues that the country is dealing with right now. And that's nice to see.
And by the way, they're on the field. And some people were asking the question, would some of these guys wear masks while they were playing? They are not. They're playing without masks.
Yes, they are.
So I think the NBA will be the same way.
I can't imagine somebody wearing a mask in an NBA game.
In hockey, I think they can mess around with the face shields, but in soccer and basketball, I think you're going to see guys looking like they normally do.
Okay, I want to ask you something, and I want Funch, you think about this, and Lindsay, you think about this. What's the one thing you don't want to change once COVID is over? So in other words, we all started doing a whole bunch of new things because of the pandemic, because of the COVID-19 crisis. What's the one thing you don't want to see go away? You get where I'm going?
Yeah. Nothing. Let me give it some thought.
Okay, think about that. And we'll do that coming back next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're just hit the unmute button on the LFC game there a minute ago, and they are definitely pumping in crowd noise.
And if you're driving around in your car, we want you to continue to listen to us. But if you're a big LAFC fan and you want to flip over to the stream, Dave Denholm's doing the game on the stream.
Yes.
Which is why I've been getting some messages, why aren't you guys on the stream? It's just a one-night thing. Denholm's on the stream, doing the LAFC game. It's 0-0. It just started. And then we'll be back on the stream all 3.5 hours tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. So I asked that question. Like, for example, I was having a conversation last night with Juan. And Juan said, the one thing that has changed forever for him is he will never go to the grocery store again. That he is so happy with Instacart that he doesn't need to go to the grocery. And it has worked really well. Lindsay, I guess, has had problems with Instacart.
It was only a one-time thing. I've used Instacart hundreds of times, even like before the pandemic. It was my favorite thing when I moved to LA because I never really heard of it before I moved to LA. And especially when I moved to my most recent apartment, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I don't have to deal with traffic. It's great. Okay, you would not believe this. I kid you not. Yesterday, I had not once, not twice, but three times, I was delivered the wrong order. So much to the point where I thought somebody was playing a trick on me. Because it was the most bizarre, weird thing ever. And in all three of the cases, like the delivery driver, or, you know, the shopper that you communicate with, right, oh, hey, sure, they're out of this. What do you want to replace this with? And it was not the same person that I was talking to that ended up, like, delivering the food. My roommate told me, well, he thinks that sometimes the shoppers are different than the people who actually drop the food off. But these people didn't care. The worst part of it was on the third attempt of them dropping off my order, I had the guy, I asked them, don't just drop it at the door. Have him knock so I can go out there and physically check the bags.
Sure.
So I go outside. I hear like a, it was the faintest, wimpiest knock I've ever heard in my life. So yeah, as soon as that happened, I knew, I have a doorbell. I was like, oh, I know this, something's on. Something's going on here. So I run to his door. I go out and I see the guy like at the way, like super far away, getting away from me where like the house is. And I start yelling. I was like, hey, this bag's not mine. I think I have the wrong order. And he just goes, okay, have a good night. And I was like, wait, can you bring back the right one? And he just ran away.
Can I tell you guys, I'm the opposite. I mean, part of the reason is I live walking distance to a store, but I'm the opposite of Juan. I go to the store all the time and like it. I like going to the store.
You like going to the grocery?
I do. But I live very, very close to a big one. A walking distance to a big one, so it makes it easy for me. But
so, what's the one thing that you would like to keep from the quarantine?
I would, one thing, and this is kind of the opposite of you. I'm going to be, Michael and I are going to be the first on air people that go back in the building.
Yes.
And depending on, like you and I have talked about, we don't know when this new lineup comes out. Where, you know, when Keyshawn's going to New York and he's going to the mornings and Max has got a show and Greeny's got a show and we don't know where all of us are going to fall on that. But,
Houston scores.
Oh, did
Houston's
they?
Up 1-0.
But I would like the option, especially when I get back at really late in the morning, like if I get back at 2-3 in the morning.
Yep.
To do the show from home. I've had fun.
Yeah, you know,
doing
that's
the show
it's a
from
really
home.
It's a really funny one that you bring up because I've thought exactly the same thing. You know, some days I can't wait to get back in the studio.
Yeah, I
love
thought you were the opposite
studio.
Of that.
No, I love the hum of being downtown and being in the middle of everything and fans coming for different games and different concerts and different restaurants and all that stuff. I love the vibe of being downtown, but there are some days where I feel I may want to just roll out of bed and say, hey, I'm going to do it from here today.
Well, depending,
I'm going to do it from here.
Depending if we're still on at the same time, too. You know, if we're on earlier in the day, it'll change. We'll see when they announce the new lineup, which is going to start, I think, middle of next month.
Now, I hope somebody tells me what's going on.
We're always the last to know.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is it's hard for me to explain to you or the listeners how weird my life gets when I'm coming back the first day of a road trip.
Right.
I will sometimes get back at 4 in the morning, wake up, get in my car, drive to LA Live, do the show with you, and when I sit down in my chair and get ready to do the show with you, I won't remember driving home from the airport the night before.
Right.
I won't remember driving in, which isn't good. But
no, that's
I mean,
not good.
I think I'm focused enough to get through it. But there are some days where you're just your brain's on autopilot. So that's one thing that I would look to. But for mostly, I think 2020 has been a disaster. I want
to
just
it's been horrible.
There's nothing about 2020 that I would like to necessarily
I think there
keep.
Is one. There's one positive. The
what?
Cleanliness of airports, airplanes, and similar public spaces. Can we please keep that?
That's a good point that I think that, yeah, people will be much more, like, so I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but a buddy of mine who I golf with he meant it as a joke, but he thinks it's, you know, if you think about it, he's right. He said, it's more socially acceptable now to fart than it is to cough.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it is. Although they don't know yet if the methane emitted in a fart could
but
possibly...
But you have a mask on.
Could possibly... No, you're literally wearing a mask at all times. I hope you're wearing a
mask
at all
times. Most people have a two-tiered mask.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the one thing I don't want to go away after this is I don't ever need to see a delivery person. Look, I know you are all... totally cool and lovely.
You love them just leaving it at the door.
Just ring the doorbell and leave. It's such an awkward
unless they get your order wrong, like me.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? It's just a bunch of like BS talk. Just leave it there. That's all I need. Just leave it there. Leave my weed. Leave my Instacart. Just leave it there.
Are you like me? Do you have a canine doorbell? A built-in canine doorbell? If anybody's walking up to my house, my dog sounds off anyway.
Oh, does it really? No, I don't have that.
Your dogs don't bark when a delivery guy comes?
Oh, no, they do. They do. Yeah. Sophie goes crazy. Yeah.
Right.
So that still exists. But those are some things. I wonder if people will travel less. I wonder if meetings will happen more likely on Zoom.
Well, I'll
than
tell you this.
I have
a couple of friends that are big muckety mucks in the TV business. One of them is way high up the chain at Warner Brothers, the movie studio. Another one is at the WB network.
Yep.
And they told me business travel, they go to New York several times a year, every year. They think business travel as we know it is over. Now that companies have figured out you can do these meetings with Zoom, you know, think about it. I wonder, Mace, you know, being completely honest, I wonder when there not one team sent their announcers to the bubble.
Right.
Every NBA team, all 22 that are down there, everybody's doing the games from home. If they do games with no fans next year, maybe the announcers will do the games from home next year.
Well, if it's
I think
still
I,
not
I gotta
safe,
be prepared for either, right?
Every person there increases the risk.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I think traveling parties are 35 or 37 or whatever that number is. And play-by-play announcers didn't fit under that cap. The TNT guys aren't going inside the bubble to call games. So, yeah, that could very well change. I mean, having done Olympics, I've called events for NBC that I was in the International Broadcast Center and was nowhere near the actual venue for the sport.
Well, I'll take it a step further than that. The last three Olympics that NBC has done, 60 to 75% of the announcers have been in New York.
Yeah.
Haven't even been in the broadcast center. So we may see a way of that changing. I think that if you're a guy like me and you're employed by a team and you get to do the games, you should just be thankful that you get to do the games.
Oh, sure.
You know, no matter where you get to do it from. And I don't think we're going to talk about where we are. I think we're just going to do the games and go. And, you know, hopefully people at home won't even know the difference.
Yeah, and you'll have crowd noise pumped in, right? You'll have a natural...
I haven't heard.
You don't think you'll have a feed from the arena?
No, I'll have a feed from the arena, but I don't know if they've decided to pump in crowd noise. It may just be squeaky shoes.
Well, just from looking at LAFC, I think it's working totally fine.
They're pumping in artificial crowd noise.
They're pumping in artificial crowd noise, and it honestly, it enhances the game. Because remember, the game is a television sport.
Too.
What's that?
Think how much they swear and like cuss each other out during the games, too. You'll be able to hear everything if they don't do it.
Right, but Lindsay, they're on a delay, so if you hear somebody yell the F word, they can dump it.
Sure, but wouldn't you have to dump a lot of it? You know,
Maybe. But I think you'd be able to get the majority. It's summer league games have been broadcast for years. And summer league games have very small crowds where you can hear all the players and the coaches.
Yeah, yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Charles Barkley, really interesting comments today. Did you hear what he said?
No.
We'll play it for you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, let me tell you about Power Pro Plumbing. They are open during the COVID-19 crisis. So a lot of businesses have had to scale back. A lot of businesses aren't open anymore. Not Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. They have stayed open from day one to make sure their customers have working plumbing, heating, and air during these critical times. They also have upheld industry-leading standards of safety and hygiene in dealing with hazardous waste and making sure you get your problems taken care of. Here's the number. Call 800-584-4116. Don't feel like you have to live with problems with your plumbing, your heating, or your air. This has been as hot of a week as we've had all year. 80s, 90s, coming up on close to 100 in some places in the valley. Don't go without your air conditioning. Power Pro always is open late. They're open on weekends. They give you free estimates. Here again is the number. 800-584-4116. That's 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we'll let you know, LAFC is on the board. It is LAFC
Can they review this?
Are they reviewing it?
He was right on the line of being offside.
It's very close.
It's a spectacular goal, but he might have been offside.
Yeah, they're reviewing it now.
Yeah, that's VAR, right? Video assisted review. It screwed more guys out of goals than anything.
Nope, it stands.
All right,
the goal
good.
Stands.
Good.
So it's 1-1. All right, and they're in the 20th minute. All right, today, Charles Barkley, I think this is from today, appeared on, I mean, Charles Barkley appears on most shows except for ours.
He's been on our show.
Has he?
Oh, you weren't
there. I don't
remember
the last
time. Yeah, I was working with Adonde, and he got him to come on. He was really good.
So Barkley appeared on CNBC
and
the owner this morning. And he says what's happening now with the NBA players and the messages across the back of the jersey, he says that all of that is turning into a circus.
Well, I think what's happening now, we turn it into a circus. We're going to spend all our time, instead of talking about racial equality and racial justice and economic justice, we spend all our time worried about who's kneeling and who's not kneeling. What things are being said on buses, what's being said on jerseys, I think we're missing the point. We need police reform. We need prison reform. Those are number two, one and two things we need to focus on. We need the cops. We need the good cops out there policing the bad cops. Like I say, we need police reform and prison reform. But the media, we all got a job to do. And they're going to spend all their time on what's on somebody's jersey and what's on the buses and who's kneeling and who's not kneeling. And that's going to defeat the purpose. My concern is just turning this thing into a circus instead of trying to do some good stuff.
I disagree with Charles.
Why?
Because I think without those things, without those elements, kneeling during the national anthem if a guy chooses to, without those messages on the backs of jerseys, there's a chance that the message gets lost altogether, gets swallowed up by basketball itself. I mean, all of those conversations that he's talking about, what message did you choose to wear on your jersey? Why did you choose that message? Why did you choose to kneel? Why did you choose not? All those questions are instructive. All those questions stir debate, and it takes people into an issue that not everybody understands. I really am in favor of, he calls it a circus. I'm in favor of the NBA the rest of this summer stirring things up. Stir the pot, stir the conversation, create conversation, be part of it. I think all that is good for the league and good for the country.
I think how I interpreted what Barkley said was that if you spend all your time talking about who's kneeling and who isn't, or if you spend all your time asking those questions that you want asked, it's you're taking time away from prison reform and police reform and stuff like that. I think his argument is to make the conversations more substantial. So I actually see your side of it and I see his side of it. I think that, for example, I've been watching all these Zoom calls from Orlando, and the Lakers are doing different ones every day. Like on Saturday, it was LeBron and JaVale McGee.
Right.
And then yesterday, it was Anthony Davis and I can't remember who else. Today, it was Kuzma and Danny Green. So they're bringing in different, and you only have, they only hang around for, let's say, 5 or 6 questions. So if you only have 5 or 6 questions, I think Barkley's argument would be, let's talk about something that's tangible rather than why are you kneeling or not kneeling. I agree with you that that can open up conversations on other stuff, but I think he just wants to get to the meat of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's hard to, but for example, one of the messages that players can wear on the backs of their jerseys is, I can't breathe. I can imagine, I don't have kids myself, but I can imagine a situation where a little kid says to his dad, hey, why does it say I can't breathe on his jersey? And it opens a conversation. It opens a conversation. People, not everybody knows what I can't breathe means, and that it affected George Floyd and Eric Garner and so many others. You know, why did you choose Justice Now? Why did you choose say her name? What is her name? I mean, all of these are real conversations, and you know, we're plugged into it in a real way because we've spent a big chunk of the summer talking about it. But not everybody has been. There are lots of people who have not necessarily been plugged into this, and this conversation is a starter point for the more serious conversations that Charles Barkley wants to have. And he's right. I mean, what matters is what's tangible. What matters is the changes that are come out of this. But in order to create the will for those changes, you need to have a critical mass. And these names on the back of the jerseys, and whether you choose to kneel or not during the national, all that stuff, I think, creates a critical mass so that the more people that are asking and the more people that are talking, the more chance there is for there to be real and meaningful systemic change.
By the way, if you were a player, would you put one of the messages on your jersey?
Yeah, I would.
Do you care which one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would have to. I've got a list of them. Do you have the list?
I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
But like LeBron and AD both elected not to.
Yeah, we'll actually hear from them on exactly why they chose not to. Actually, why don't we do that and then. You describe what you would do if in the same spot.
Okay.
Here is LeBron James on why he's not putting a message on the back of his jersey.
I actually didn't go with a name on the back of my jersey. And it was, you know, it's no disrespect to the list that was handed out to all the players. I commend anyone that decides to put something on the back of their jersey. You know, it's just something that didn't really, you know, seriously resonate with my mission, with my goal. I would have loved to have a say-so on what went on the back of my jersey. I had a couple of things in mind, but I wasn't a part of that process, which is okay. I'm absolutely okay with that. So what I will continue to do, you know, off the floor and when I'm talking to you guys and when I'm, you know, everything that I do has a purpose, it has a meaning. So I don't need to have something on the back of my jersey for people to understand my mission or know what I'm about.
And here is AD, same subject, why he isn't wearing a social injustice message on the back of his jersey.
I think just for me, you know, I think the name Dave is just is something that I try to represent every time I step on the floor, you know, my family. And, you know, and I was kind of torn between the two. I didn't know what to decide. Should I go with a social injustice message or should I have my last name? And I just think my last name is something that is very important to me, and also social injustice as well. But just holding my family name and represent the name on the back to go through this process and a name and people who've been with me through my entire career to help me get to this point while still kind of, you know, figuring out things that we can do for social injustice. So I think, you know, some guys chose to, some guys chose not, but, you know, we'll have a ton of ways to kind of represent, you know, what we stand for.
All right. So did you pull up the list?
I pulled up the list.
What would you wear?
I would wear anti-racist.
Why?
Because obviously a lot of these messages are geared to be worn by African Americans, by black guys. So some of them don't make sense at all. I looked at ally. I looked at anti-racist, because I think that ultimately that's what we need to get to. We need to reject in its totality racism. And it's not okay to just let things slide anymore. It's not okay to just allow things to continue as they are. We have to call racism what it is. We've got to name it. And we've got to be able to name those people who are racists. We've got to. So that's why I chose anti-racist. What about you?
I would probably go, I would either do enough or how many more. Because if the two things that I'm amazed by is, we had an Eric Garner. How did we get to George Floyd? Okay,
There are a lot of names that got us to George Floyd.
Right, but I'm saying, like, how many more people need to die before we get the reform that Barkley was talking about? So I think I would probably end on that. But I don't know. By the way, I think the NBA made a mistake by not allowing players. LeBron mentioned it, that he had a couple of things he would have liked to have worn.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen what he came up with. And why not? I mean, there aren't that many players in the NBA. There's only 17 on each team. Why can't players, you know, send what they want to put on it to the NBA, give the reasoning behind it, and as long as it's not profane or political or it's going to lose the league respect or money, maybe the NBA would do it. Maybe these players would come up with something that isn't on this list.
Yeah, not on the menu.
Yeah, I wish the league would have let them do that. But I have no problem with guys who are going to say, I'll just wear my regular name. But I would
You've got the list on in front of you? Or you've got the list in front of you? What do you think the most popular message is going to be, the one you see the most often during the NBA?
Probably Black Lives Matter.
That is actually number two. Number one is equality. Hmm. The most common message during the NBA bubble season is going to be equality, and number two is Black Lives Matter. As of this last week, 285 of the expected 350 eligible players have picked a social justice message, and 17 have opted to continue to use their names instead. That includes LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
All right, coming up is Game of Games. Is it my game or your game?
It's my game today.
Okay, good. I need some wins.
And I am leading. It's Mason 3, Ireland 2, Lindsay 2, Brian Kamenetsky as a fill-in 1, and Funch.
Wait
Funch,
a minute.
Are you there?
Didn't Lindsay win on Friday?
No, I won on Friday.
No, I almost did. I came back for the tiebreaker. Remember?
That's what it was, right? All right, tiebreaker. So Mason's up by one. That's right.
Yeah, okay. So, and Funch, I don't know if Funch is still with us. Are you still with us, Funch?
Yeah, I'm feeling lucky today.
Is today Funch Day?
Funch Day.
All right, Game of Games is coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And it is time, people. We will let you know that Houston has scored again. 34th minute now in Orlando. The Dynamo lead LAFC 2-1. And we'll keep you updated on what's going on in that game. John, it is time for Game of Games. And today's game is very simple. It is a fact or fiction game. Just fact or fiction. And Funch, you can play. For real,
Funch, you can actually play. It's your day, Funch. Snaps the streak.
I mean,
let's get it.
It's 50-50 shots, so if today's any day's Funch
there
day,
you go.
Today,
yeah.
Right?
Every day's Funch day. All right, and Lindsay, you can play, and of course, John, you can play. All right, here's number one. The Bible is the world's most shoplifted book. Is that fact or is that fiction, Ireland?
Well, now, does it count if you take it from a hotel?
It would.
then
that
yeah.
would be shoplifting.
Then I would think it would be. Yeah.
Ireland says yes. Lindsay, she says
I think
fact.
That sounds like a fact. Yeah.
Says fact. Funch.
That's a true statement.
That is a true statement. Yes, that is a fact. Bible, world's most shoplifted book. Number two, if Michael Phelps was a country, he'd rank number 35 on the all-time Olympic gold medal list. Is that fact or is that fiction? Lindsay?
I'm going to go fiction.
Lindsay goes fiction. Funch?
That's false.
Goes fiction. Ireland?
So what did you say he would be ranked?
He would be ranked number 35 on the all-time Olympic gold medal list for countries.
That's fiction.
You're all wrong. That is a fact. He has more gold medals than 97 nations.
Well, you missed it then. That's probably right. You probably got what you deserved.
Well, I guess I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, so did all you.
Right. Right, but I didn't claim I didn't get it.
Babe Ruth won only 4 World Series titles. Is that fact or is that fiction, Funch?
That's fact.
Fact. John?
That sounds right. I'll say fact.
Fact. Lindsay?
That's fact.
That is a fact, yeah. Only 4 World Series titles
so,
for
wait,
Babe Ruth.
We're tied exactly? We're all 2-1 in this
Everybody's
game?
Everybody's 2-2-2,
yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Squirrels are responsible for the majority of power outages in America. Is that fact or is that fiction? Ireland?
Squirrels? Yeah, that sounds like a fact to me.
Ireland says fact. Lindsay?
I'm going to go fiction to go
fiction.
Against John.
Funch?
Fact.
Yeah, Ireland and Funch take the point. Squirrels, they're just rats with fluffy tails, people. All right. As of 2017, Queen Elizabeth II owned 21 corgis, 6 beagles, and 2 golden retrievers. Is that fact or is that fiction, Lindsay?
I'm going to go with true because it sounds something too weird to make up.
Fact. All right.
Well,
Funch.
Wait. What? I think she, you said, okay, never mind. I already gave my answer.
Okay. You're having trouble understanding the questions, Lynch. All right.
Because I'm so used to trying to hurry up and ring in before I even know what the question is that like my mind is going that mode.
You don't have to. Yeah, there's no buzzer in this game. So okay. what did she go, fact or fiction?
She went fact.
I'm going to go fiction.
Funch is going to go fiction.
Mace, read me the numbers again.
21 corgis, 6 beagles, and 2 golden retrievers.
So 28 dogs total?
Yes.
I think your number is low. I think she had like 35 corgis. I'm going fiction.
You're right. Fiction is the correct answer, but I have no idea how many dogs she's got. I just
no,
totally
Mace,
made those
I think
up.
She's had like 40 corgis alone.
Yeah.
By the way, I also said fiction.
Right. We know that.
Oh, you said Mace. Fiction, then you get the point too. Sorry about that. I didn't have you with the point. All right, so it's Funch 4, Ireland 4, Lindsay 3. 2 more. A woman with 2 uteruses gave birth to twins less than a month after having a baby. Is that fact or is that fiction? I think we are to Funch on this.
I'll say fact.
Funch says fact. Ireland.
Give me the timing again. What the?
A woman with 2 uteruses gave birth to twins less than a month after having a baby.
Sure, why not? Fact.
Fact. Lindsay.
It's very contradictory, but I think it's a weird, too weird makeup too. So, yeah, I'm going to go. Fact.
You guys are all correct. It is a fact. Yeah, that woman, that was a rough run. All right, and the last one. Louisiana, and there's a tie possible. I do have a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Louisiana is home to a rare pink dolphin. Is that fact or is that fiction? Ireland and Funch are tied, so go to Ireland. Pink dolphin in Louisiana.
You can't make that up. It's got to be true. Fact.
Funch.
Fiction.
Fiction. Lindsay.
I think it's a fact.
It is a fact. Ireland takes the day.
Oh! Yes, I needed it.
Funch, you were so close.
Funch, you were right there. It was almost Funch Day.
Almost.
Funch Mason can't make up a pink dolphin. Come on, man.
I thought it was going to be like a different state or a different country or something.
There are also pink dolphins in, they live in rivers. They live in Louisiana and they live in the Amazon. So
Mace,
you're right.
Read,
there are other places too.
Read your Babe Ruth question again.
Okay. Where is it? Oh, no. Am I wrong? Babe Ruth won only four World Series titles.
Well, and then but I think we all guessed the same thing, right?
You did, yeah.
Okay. Correct. Pete Fox just texted me.
Pete Fox?
Babe Ruth won seven World Series titles because he won three in Boston.
Oh, so he won four Yankees World Series titles.
You just had to put the word Yankees in there. But since we all got it right, my victory is complete, and now I've tied you, right?
Yeah. Now for the month of July, it's Mason 3, Ireland 3, Lindsay 2, Brian Kamenetsky is a fill-in one, and Funch... Oh, every day.
Funch, it's only the 13th. You've got a lot of time to catch up, man.
You know, last night I was planning on, you know, thinking of just sweeping from Monday to Friday. You know, that was my goal this week. That was my goal this week, really. It was my goal this week to just sweep from Monday to Friday, just to get back
in
it. But I guess it's not happening.
Already defeated. Monday afternoon, 5:49 p.m.
You can still get
your
four
dream
victories,
for the week
friend.
Is defeated.
That's right.
Mason and I can't get four because we're always hosting the game. So you could get four victories and take the lead by the end of the week.
Hopefully so.
All right. There you have your game of games. Coming up next, Alan Sliwa is going to join us for some crosstalk.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You turned into Billy DeLorey a little bit there.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Billy DeLorey?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Sliwa is next, and he kicks it off always with those magical words. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
It's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The five words that light up Los Angeles every night.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
That's the one. That's the phrase right there.
That's the phrase.
Sliwa's
That's
on
what
the
it's
phone.
All about.
He's on the phone.
Yeah, I know. So, I know. Telephone today. We got, by the way, I just ask you guys real quick. I know you guys probably have the game on in the background.
Yes.
LAFC in Houston, 2-1 Houston. But, Mace, have you noticed this with any, and I know we're just starting live sports. Did you guys get a chance during one of your breaks to turn the volume up a little bit? You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
They put the crowd noise. It actually sounds pretty good.
It sounds awesome.
I was one, and I've watched a few of these MLS games so far. Yesterday, I think it was Kansas City and Minnesota, and
yep.
That was with no piped in noise. You know, you obviously just hearing the players and everything else. This actually sounds so much better than yesterday. And I was one that was saying, no, there's no fans there. Leave it authentic. I actually think this sounds great, at least for TV.
Well,
yeah, I'm wondering.
This game's on Fox. One thing that Fox is really good at is innovation. Like, do you guys know that before Fox started doing NFL games, there was no box in the corner of the screen that told you what the score was or how much time was left in the game? That thing was called a Fox box. Now it's on every telecast, regardless of network, regardless of sport. You can tune into any game, and that box will be up in the corner. And they talk.
But I think I think the crowd noise thing is an MLS thing. I don't think it's a Fox thing. Because I've watched MLS games. ESPN also broadcasts MLS games, and the crowd noise is.
I was going to say, were there pipe noise made to the? Because the ESPN, at least the one I watched yesterday, there was definitely no crowd noise.
There was no crowd noise.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is a Fox thing. I'm pretty sure that they decide who's ever broadcasting the game decides what the audio is.
So here's the question: can the players hear the crowd noise, or can only people watching on TV hear the crowd noise?
Only people watching on TV. There's no mechanism by which the players could hear it. You know what they're doing on the scoreboard at this game, though, Mace, in Orlando. I don't know if they'll take a wide shot far enough to show it, but they've got webcams in
yeah, I saw that
of fans for both teams. So
that's right.
So if they look up on the scoreboard, you'll see LAFC fans and you'll see Houston Dynamo fans cheering on their team, which I thought was kind of cool.
That is cool. That's a cool innovation. That's something that can carry over.
Yeah, and they're encouraging fans to, you know, post up videos and things. So they're trying to be as interactive as possible. But I think, John, what you just mentioned about how inside of the arena the players can't hear the noise, that's probably the right thing to do. And then for the fan experience to try and pipe in some noise, that's the right thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like players, they're going to score all of a sudden, they're going to hear this eruption from a crowd. I don't think they care about that. But I think from a consumer perspective, it sounds great. This actually just threw me off because I didn't know, I hadn't heard it yet on ESPN, so I think that's the right thing to do with Fox.
So, but there's no decision about what they're going to do for NBA.
Yeah, I don't know, John. Do you know that?
No, I haven't heard.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I would be in favor of doing what these guys are doing right now. Because the crowd sounds very realistic, and ultimately, especially now, it's a television product. I mean, it's for people watching on TV. It's obviously not for fans at the arena. So make it create a great television viewing experience for people. And some would say, I don't know, what's better, squeaky sneakers and an occasional cuss word, some trash talk, or crowd noise?
My thought personally would be crowd noise, but I've heard from people who feel the opposite, who feel that they want to hear the players in the shoes.
Houston scored again.
Houston. Oh, did they score again?
Actually, unless it's offside. Yeah, they got them.
It's offside.
Okay. Stay 2-1. So I never. This is the first time where I actually got the chance to see both. And this is just for soccer. The NBA, I always kind of thought of from an NBA perspective, how cool would that be? How raw and authentic would it be to hear the players, hear the coaches and everything else? The reality is you get that for a couple of minutes, you're like, okay, I'm good. You know, I already heard it all. It's not like all this is going to change. And we're accustomed to it. We're accustomed to hearing fans. We're accustomed to, you know, every time we talk about college football, I think one of the first things you make mention of is how unbelievable the environment is, and that kind of gets you pumped when you're sitting on the couch. So I'm kind of with the both of you on this. Go ahead and pump in some crowd noise. If that makes the TV experience better, that's all that matters at this point, right? Like, there is no audience to really entertain from inside of the arena, so you might as well do everything you can from a TV perspective.
Hey, let me ask you guys something. I don't know. I don't watch enough soccer that I would know the answer to this, but maybe I'm getting my answer right now. I think they missed this offsides call. Like, they called Houston offside, and I don't think they were. I think the goal should count. Can they do that? Can they reverse a call that they've made that would result in a goal?
I can't imagine you can.
Yeah, they can.
They can?
They can reverse. Reverse.
Mm-hmm. Because, Mace, watch the replays they're about to show. These guys, this Houston guy that scored was not offsides. And so now the referee has gone into a tent, and he's looking at a monitor. The only reason that could be, Alan, is to reverse it, right? Or at least consider reversing it?
So, John, yesterday in that, I mentioned the Kansas City-Minnesota game, similar predicament here. They're actually down 1-0, Minnesota was. They reversed it. They took the goal away, so the score stayed 1-0. We'll see what they do right now. Let's see what he just decided. I wish I knew the hand signals.
Yep, they put the goal on the board.
Yeah, 3-1 Houston.
Took down the offside, so it's 3-1 Houston. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the right call. I didn't know they were allowed to do that.
But, and they stopped playing during that replay.
Can you imagine in the NBA, that would be like, Alan, let's say key play late in the game, and they call goaltending. And mm-hmm. then they go back to action, which is what they did in the soccer game, and 2 or 3 minutes later, the official runs over to the table, and they look at it, and it wasn't goaltending. And they allow the basket. That's weird that they're. I didn't know they could do that.
Well, John, how quick was that too? I mean, how many times do you and MT joke around during the broadcast? Michael always says, "I could see that in 30 seconds." Right? This is a goal. Obviously, a goal in Major League Soccer is so much more important than just a bucket. I'm talking about, you know, in the second quarter or third quarter, they did that fast. Yesterday was the same thing. The guy went right to the replay booth, took a look, saw a couple different angles. They were back on the field, and they kept going. So I think from also just the amount of time it takes in MLS to repeat those. That one 3-1, and that was right before halftime.
Okay, so Sliwa, a lot of people on my Twitter timeline, and you know it's enormous. I have a huge Twitter timeline, unbelievable number of followers, all that stuff. So they all are waiting for your review of Hamilton.
For some reason, I have a feeling there aren't many of them waiting.
But, no, they are waiting. They're out there saying, Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton. You have a review. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I did. I did get a chance to watch it. First of all, I didn't really know. By the way, I don't know if you guys walked in. Did you guys have on Alexander Hamilton, did you have all this background on him? Because I didn't
Hell
have
no.
this background. So okay,
no,
so.
I knew nothing. I knew Aaron Burr shot him. That was it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he wasn't born in the United States. He's an immigrant.
They get the job done.
walking into it, Mace, not that I didn't know what to expect. Obviously, everybody's talking about it, so I know it's going to be, you know, it's going to be special. But I think it's safe to say whatever I thought, expectations afterwards, much better than I ever thought it would be. And for somebody like myself who just loves hip-hop, like I appreciate hip-hop. I don't listen to it as much now as I did, you know, maybe over the last 10, 20 years or so. But the fact that it's 2.5 hours plus of a musical that, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda, I thought he was absolutely unreal. And just finding out kind of the story, too, of him writing it and then starring in it as well, or writing it and starring in it as well, I thought that was incredible. And then a couple other guys, like the guy who played Aaron Burr, Leslie Odom Jr., I thought he was amazing.
He was great.
I think it's David Diggs. I think that was
Diggs is fantastic. They both are.
Just him as, you know, him more just as a rapper. Like, he looked so natural and so good in everything he did. The fact that you're watching this thing and you're like, how are you not, you know, they probably noticed all the mistakes, but at least for us, you're just kind of standing there just wondering how there is, it seems flawless, you know what I mean? And for that long, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible, and it was worth, how long was it? 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes or something like that?
It's 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Or 3 hours and 20 minutes. No, it was great. So I still, Mace, you're the one that hasn't seen Book of Mormon yet, right?
I have not seen Book of Mormon.
What?
Yeah, I haven't.
You have to see Book of Mormon.
That is one of the great outrages of your lifetime. Book of Mormon changed my opinion of what funny is. That movie,
wait a minute. It was that big a deal?
Really good.
Oh, my God.
Changes your opinion of what funny is?
Mace, it literally, I walked out and I looked at Lisa and I went, that is the most brilliant takedown I have ever seen in comedy. Ever. It is, you know the premise of it, right?
The premise is, a couple of Mormon kids go on a missionary retreat.
Right, and they, you know, they're. This happens if you are a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, you have to go on a mission.
Yes,
and what you do is you go preach LDS to people and you know try and get them to understand your religion. And these two guys get sent to the jungle in Africa where there are no white people and nobody is Mormon, and it just goes from there. And it is you Mace, trust me. Make that a goal.
You'll die laughing.
I was sitting next to a woman who was dressed for the theater, like a woman in her 70s or 80s. And after the first 10 minutes, Mace, the opening song is so offensive.
Yep.
I can't even say what the title
really?
Is. Oh, yeah. And I looked at this woman who I didn't know, and I said, ma'am, are you okay? And she goes, it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Let me ask you a question. If she wasn't okay, what were you going to do?
I don't know.
Escort her from the theater?
No, maybe go get her a bottle of water or something. Mace, the first song, it's so offensive that you're in your chair and you're looking around the rest of the theater going, are they allowed to say that? And sure enough, it just gets worse from there. I mean, it was written by the guys who did South Park.
South Park, yeah, creators.
Yeah, right. It's been on my list.
Every
I keep
moment,
I keep missing it. It keeps coming back to LA, and I keep missing it. And God knows when it'll be back now.
Well, I was gonna say, I wonder if you could, and I know it doesn't do it the justice, but I wonder, just the way we just watched Hamilton, if there's something like that for Book of Mormon. I gotta imagine, John, there is, right?
Well, I've never seen a movie of it, but it would work for Book of Mormon. It would work.
Are you a big Broadway guy, Alan?
No, I know. John, I think you said you've seen them all, right?
Oh, Broadway John?
Yeah, I've seen everything I could.
Broadway John knows every show. And it's he not knows the, every show.
It's not the first song. It's the first song after they get to Africa. That's
oh, okay.
Oh,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right.
The song.
Yeah, John's got a Broadway thing. I love Broadway. That's the thing that I loved about living in New York was living so close to Broadway. I mean, I was like four blocks from the theater district, and it was fun seeing every single show. I do miss that. God knows when is Broadway going to come back? Jeez.
Will it get crippled?
Yeah, when? How? Those are just, I mean, really, those are vaccine questions, right? I mean, a lot of this stuff, I mean, in the end, movie theaters, it's going to come down to a vaccine. Broadway theaters, it's going to come down to a vaccine. I mean, so much of it, really attending sporting events in the way that we've become accustomed to in the past, the way we've always gone to games, probably comes down to a vaccine. And who knows when that's going to be? Hopefully soon. I saw Dr. Fauci say early next year.
Mason, how about earlier today, too? Just, you know, the state of California, it's like here, L.A. County is obviously part of, I think, this 30-plus counties where the mall, indoor malls, gyms and fitness centers again. I actually went to the gym yesterday.
Did you?
For the first time. And, John, when's the last time you've been to the L.A. Athletic Club? Has it been a long time? I know
yeah,
you guys,
more.
You used to
I used to go.
There.
Yeah, I used to go all the time. Mm-hmm. Probably a year. Probably haven't been there in a year.
So, I mean, have either of you gone to a gym yet or no?
No. I wouldn't go to a gym. I think gyms are I'll wait for a vaccine.
Well, let me tell you this. I feel so freaking bad. There's not a soul in there. I mean, there is no
Oh, really?
In there. Yeah, and that's kind of I didn't know what to expect just cuz I think they had just opened a week ago or so, and who knows? Who knows if they're going to I don't think they have the ability to stay open now, from what I understand, but was there yesterday. And the process is, okay, they take your temperature. You know, you have to put some hand sanitizer on. You grab a towel. You can't switch out your towel. I was actually just going to shoot around. I haven't played basketball in so long. I just wanted to shoot around. The way they do it, you take half of the court and you block it off for a half hour. When I tell the both of you, there might have been three people in the entire gym.
In the entire gym?
I'm not kidding. Three people in the entire gym. When I was leaving, there was a couple families coming that would go use the pool. But
yep.
There's two floors right in front of me. One is the track and the weights, and the other one is the basketball court, and they moved a lot of the ellipticals down. Only thing I could think of is how are you possibly going to survive? And that's not me just talking about, you know, that specific gym. But just gyms in general, if this is the climate and this is the case, and like you said, Mace, you're going to probably wait till a vaccine. It's
yep.
really, really sad to just watch kind of things unfold. Driving in, I don't know the last time you guys have been in downtown L.A., there's still a ton of boarded up businesses. So
are there?
Yeah, there are. There definitely are. So that's unfortunate.
Mason, did I just texted you one lyric from one song. Did you see the text?
Hang on. Let me just open up.
Okay.
Lyric from one song.
Don't read it. I just think that this will...
No,
don't read it. When you read the lyric, you will think this is my kind of show.
Wow.
Mace, you'll fall in love with it. Mace, you will fall in love with it. It's whatever you think, like, oh, this is going too far, it will go just a little bit further.
Mace, say how I can't even hint at that song on the air.
Wow. That's insane.
I know.
It's that dirty?
Oh, no matter how dirty I could try and tell you it is, it's dirtier.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's extreme.
Don't let your kids Google that.
By the way, 11-time Tony winner that
year. Yeah, I know. It won all kinds of awards, that's for sure. All right.
The original two Mormon missionaries were Josh Gad and Andrew Rannells, who've both gone on to be huge stars.
Who's Andrew Rannells?
I'm trying to think of what you would have seen him in. Did you ever watch Lena Dunham's show?
No, I never went for that show.
Google Andrew Rannells and you'll see.
Oh, I see him. Yeah, I see him.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff.
All right, coming up next.
Hey, did we really get an email from Bryson DeChambeau's brother?
Yes, we did.
Okay, read that next because I want to get into that.
All right, that's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. In the Welcome Back MLS Tournament, the Houston Dynamo at halftime lead LAFC 3-1. We're actually carrying that game on the stream for you if you want to hear it. Also, I forgot to mention this, but you realize that on Sunday is the Dodgers' first exhibition game at Dodger Stadium.
This Sunday.
Dodgers Diamondbacks this Sunday. And the home opener, well, home for what it's worth, the opener is a week from Thursday against the Giants. That's how fast baseball has gotten here. I mean, it's basically here.
Wow.
And we all of a sudden feel like there's live sports. I mean, yesterday with their inner squad game with Kershaw, and then you have MLS games going on, like, kind of feels like we have live sports. So that is kind of crazy, Mace. You were mentioning this last week. You said 2 weeks away, then 3 weeks away for the NBA. That does kind of put it in perspective. It's all coming.
Yeah. All right. So Friday, John speculated about whether or not Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, you asked me Brooks Koepka.
Yep.
Who knows DeChambeau and plays with him on tour, suggested that DeChambeau was on steroids.
Yes.
Made a joke about it. And you asked me, do I agree with Koepka? And I said, yeah, I think most people think DeChambeau is on something, which caused this. Was it an email or a text you got?
It was a first a tweet and then a series of DMs.
Okay.
So Garrett is his brother. He says, okay. My brother Bryson doesn't take steroids. Listen to the show every day. He works his butt off in the gym. Won't even drink caffeinated drinks. Goes on to write a bunch of other stuff here. Says they drug test on the tour. Koepka is just mad. Bryson said Koepka has no abs when Koepka did the body issue. You want the real scoop? Let me know. And P.S. Ireland doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay. So here's my question.
Yes.
Mason, if you were on steroids, would your brothers, you have two, would they know? Would they be a reliable source in that scenario?
Would they know? It's a good question.
Sleewood, you have sisters, right? Do you have any brothers?
No brothers.
I mean, I have two brothers I never see.
Well, Sleewood,
I have a brother. I'm pretty close with my brother.
All right, Lindsay, if your brother was on steroids, would you know? Would he confide in you?
I think if my brother were foolish enough to do something like steroids, I do not think that he would tell me. No.
Sleewa, if you were on steroids, would your sisters know?
Probably not.
Yeah, so while I think he's being a good brother and his opinion obviously has value, I don't know if that's what I'm asking. Maybe we should trust mm-hmm. him. Maybe he's close with his brother and he knows.
But yeah, I've just never been a believer in, hey, that guy looks like, so he must be.
Well, in this,
John, is it for you? It's more the timetable, right?
Right.
How many pounds of muscle he put on in such a short period of time?
Correct, and that he's hitting the ball farther than anyone ever has in the history of golf. So you ask, how's he doing that? Now he very well could be doing it. Maybe he's one of those guys that gets up and goes to the gym all day, but it's being speculated all over golf. I mean, a lot of golf fans think they smell a rat. But if he's right, what's his brother's name, Mace?
Garrett.
If Garrett's right and they test him regularly, you know, Mason, you're the one that taught me that you can always stay ahead of the testers. But sure. I don't know if it's as easy to do that as it was when Barry Bonds was doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. They were actually inventing new substances. I mean, Barry Bonds had millions of dollars sunk into Balco. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Has Bryson DeChambeau made an unbelievable amount of money?
He's won four tournaments this year. You win $1 million every time you win a tournament. But if he is being tested, then he's going to be just like Bonds was. You know, Bonds never failed a test. He would. That's why how he was able to stay on the field. Did A-Rod ever fail a test?
A-Rod.
He got suspended.
I don't think he did. Did he?
He got suspended for a year. But I don't know if they got him by failing a test. So Garrett's right. Bryson is going to be able to continue to play. And he's also right in saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know Bryson and don't know. Maybe he is just one of those once-in-a-lifetime people that gets up, goes in the gym, treats his body like a temple, and has somehow been able to package that into being able to hit the golf ball 360 yards off the tee. But it's just never happened before, and that's why I think a lot of people are skeptical. But, Sleva, that opens up a question Mason brought up earlier today, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a girl that says she's already been invited into the bubble, okay?
You know this girl?
Yeah, she's not bad-looking, as you guys said.
What's her name? Ugly, at Ugly Eva, I think?
Anna, yeah. I thought her name was.
At Ugly Anna, yes.
Ugly underscore okay. Anna on Twitter, at least.
So, Mason read a story that says people are suggesting Montrezl Harrell is the guy who invited her simply because they follow each other on social media. Is it fair, Sliwa, to connect those dots? If she follows Harrell and he follows her and she doesn't follow any other NBA players and no other NBA player is following her, is it fair to connect those dots?
I think it's easy to say, okay, well, it has to be Montrezl Harrell, but definitely it could, I would imagine, it could be a number of different NBA athletes. But I get the connection part. By the way, I think somebody had put on there, who was it yesterday that put on that was, he said something about Donovan Mitchell.
Mo Bamba joke. That's right. Mo Bamba, who's in the league, joke. No way that's not Donovan Mitchell that invited her into the bubble. But her response, John,
was, I wish. So yeah. tells you what she thought about that. No, but I could see the connection. My bigger concern was Rashawn Holmes and Bruno Caboclo.
No, Caboclo.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Caboclo. Yeah, come on. What kind of NBA? It's Caboclo.
Well, this guy definitely isn't getting much publicity until this. But, Mace, right when I saw that, I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Caboclo do? I know what Holmes did. I know he went and met a Postmates driver outside the hotel or whatever. What did Caboclo do?
Supposedly he unintentionally left the bubble that he didn't know. So, I heard the interview with Tim, you know, Tim Bontemps. So maybe there is still kind of this gray area of where you can be and where you can't be. But come on, I mean, you know, Mace, one of the things that you mentioned for the last couple of weeks, I know, John, you've referenced it as well, it could be a player from a team that, you know, has no chance of winning an NBA championship. They're deep on the bench.
Yep.
That could potentially, you know, slip up, and he screws it up for the entire NBA. You guys saw the testing. Only two positive tests.
I know, only two tests plus in the bubble.
Okay, well, what if, I mean, isn't it all it takes? All it takes is one mistake, maybe two mistakes, and all of a sudden that two can probably jump up. I mean, we're seeing what's happening across the country right now, and especially in Florida. So it's that moment where I'm just kind of you watch stories like that, and you're like, how does somebody not know? You know what I mean? Just the way everything's been promoted.
Well, it's new, right? I mean, I think that these two guys, it's new. For some reason, this guy felt like the Postmates driver could just walk right into the bubble. Which is dumb, but you know, all it takes is one. I mean, the popular thing is you sneak a girl in, girl's got COVID, you get COVID, it takes a couple of days for the viral load to build up. In the meantime, you practice with your team and you've played a scrimmage against another team. All of a sudden, you've got a whole bunch of COVID cases.
Hey, Sliwa, if you were down there in the bubble, how would you sneak girls in?
I think I'm with the both of you. You know, you guys said you guys just wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
How awful
would
that
be? Well, Mason, of course you wouldn't do it. You got a whole different thing going on.
I would not sneak girls in. I would not.
That's great. By the way, just think about that, John. What if you're the person that popped the bubble? Like, can you imagine?
Oh, I love that phrasing, too. Don't be the one to burst the bubble.
That you end up, obviously ruining it for the NBA. I mean, what was that number, $150 million? I think I saw another number today from Joe Varden that it was closer to $170 million to put this thing together.
Yep.
Can you imagine you're the name, you're the person that
you're the Rudy Gobert of the bubble?
Yeah, right now Rudy Gobert is the guy who shut the league down, fair or unfair. By the way, go ahead.
Hi, John. I was just going to say, have you guys been getting this? I heard Tim Bontemps say that he's leaning towards the Clippers. He picks the Clippers. Do you feel that? I feel like the last couple of interviews over the last week or so, I feel like more experts, I guess you can call them, right, are leaning towards the Clippers. What changed? I mean, is it just Avery Bradley?
I'll tell you what changed, Sliwa. The time. It's 6:24.
We hit the door.
That's it.
What do you got?
All right, real quick. Crosstalk 710 ESPN powered by PowerPro Heating and Air and their Crosstrade PowerPro service specials. Great Crosstrade service for our listeners right now. $99 drain cleaning. Go to PowerProPlumbing.com. Mark Medina and Joe Varden coming up on the show.
What? All right. We have Joe Varden tomorrow.
I don't. Why would you point that out? What is the point in pointing that out?
Well, no, people will. There'll be new information. By the way, Houston still leading LAFC 3-1. They are in the 54th minute. See you tomorrow, 2:55 sharp, 710 ESPN.